So I'm gonna continue on where I left off last week. Again, we've been talking about kingdom relationships. I really believe the Lord would have his people grow in the culture and environment of the kingdom, that which he's provided, and really that which we're gonna be in for eternity. And we spent some time talking about our relationship with God and how we should approach him and relate with him, and now we're dealing with how we relate with one another, and we introduced honor. And we really talked about the definition of honor. We used the verses, honor your father and mother, and the weight of that word, and how in the New Testament, the word that they use, timeo, is really about us assigning value to another person, and we discussed that it's really not so much us assigning the value. The fact is that Jesus has already assigned the value, and we need to recognize that in one another. All right, so that's kind of where we left off last week. In the last statement I said, and here's where we're going to take off, the culture of honor is all about family resemblance. All right, so Heavenly Father, open our ears, open our eyes to hear you and see you. Speak to each one of us what you would have us hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis 1:26, everyone's familiar with this verse. We've shared it a lot here throughout the years. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, I could get political with that last statement, but I'm not going to. I think it's clear. There is no ambiguity there. And we typically use these verses when we talk about dominion or our authority or our assignment or what our position is in the earth, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about family resemblance. What's that mean? It means our image is God himself. Genesis 2:7 says it's like this, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The exact word is he actually took his essence and put into us. You know, sometimes we see each other and we don't realize or look deep enough to realize that each of us contain the essence of God himself. That alone is worthy of honor. We possess his spiritual nature. We possess his characteristics and essential specifications. We were designed, created to be like, act like, and function like God himself. See, it's all about family resemblance. You know, I always think it's funny. We were even doing it last night. The girls were showing me a picture. Look, who does, it was Lori. Who do you see? I was like, I see Lori. And they're trying to get me to name one of the kids, right? It's about family resemblance. Who do you look like? Who, you know? And we start associating that. We don't associate ourselves enough with God. I mean, we should be looking at one another and saying, oh, what attribute of God am I seeing you? Because you have the attributes of God. When we look at each other that way, what does it cause us to do? It causes us to honor that which we see. So therefore, because of this, we have to know who God is and who he's created us to be. It isn't so much about me. It isn't so much about what I do. It's about who I am. Said another way, it isn't about what you do. It isn't about what you look like. It's about who you are. When who you are, remember we're talking about kingdom identity in this, you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you're a child of God. When who you are determines what you do, you will walk in honor. Honor is God himself, and it's a natural outworking of being associated with God. Danny Silk says in his book, The Culture of Heaven, that honor is the relational currency of heaven. The word relational means the connection by blood, kinship, friendship, or association. How many of you know when you've given your life to Jesus, you've accepted the blood sacrifice of Jesus? We are connected by blood. There's no oath that's stronger. There's no covenant with God that is stronger than that which is birthed in blood. Currency is something used as a means of exchange. See, I can go boldly to the throne of God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus covers me. What did I just say? He sees his son. You know, I have a couple grandchildren now, three grandchildren, and even the youngest, at any time, in any place, in any situation, is bold enough to interrupt anything, any circumstance, whether it's run up onto the platform or anything, just because they see mom, dad, grandpa, it doesn't matter, right? That's how we can approach God. You know what? That is really honor. Say, how? That's disruptive, because they see grandpa. We can approach the Father because he's Father. When I know I'm the child, I can act like a child and I can run to my dad. When we see each other as who we are in him, we will naturally show honor to one another. When we start to pull heaven to earth, remember, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pull heaven to earth, we use the connection we have with God to exchange what is on earth for what is in heaven. How does sickness get healed? Because there's no sickness in heaven. As a child of the kingdom of heaven, I have a right to proclaim no sickness while I'm on earth. Why? Because there's none in heaven. I can't be sick in heaven. It doesn't exist. It starts by knowing God. And God is described most adequately, above all else, in this one word, four-letter word, not as popular in the world as it is in heaven. Love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. We all know this passage. Love is patient. I might test that today. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, there's some pretty strong words in there. One of them's always. That leaves you no wiggle room. It doesn't say except in this circumstance. It's a strong word. That's who God is. See, therefore, if we just substitute the word, God, because God is love, right? God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy, does not boast. He's not proud. He's not rude. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. Some of us live our life thinking we're just, God's just mad at us. He's not easily angered. Here's a big one. He keeps no record of wrongs. Some Christians are too sin conscious. God is not sin conscious. The blood of Jesus took care of it once and for all. Whether you want to accept it or not, it dealt a death blow to sin. He keeps no record. When I screw up, I turn back. If I screw up, I turn back. He's not keeping a record. Wow, you've had to turn back a lot. It's not a conversation I have to have with God. He's made a way for me to live free from the law of sin and death. It's called grace. Walk therein. See, we misunderstand God because we misunderstand love, so we misunderstand one another. We have to put down what the earth describes as love and exchange it for what we know of the love of God. See, honor is manifested in our relationships. And if honor is the rule of our relationships, then we will walk in the greatest commandment, which is love God and love each other as we love ourselves. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said it, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The fact is, you can do away with the rest of the laws if you'll just do those two. We can really simplify the matter. Sometimes we make things so complex, and God has made them so simple for us. Accept Jesus, love me, love each other. See, love doesn't have rules. You can't legislate love. Because when you legislate love, you negate the relationship. The core value of honor is, I don't control you. That's really hard as a parent, as your kids grow up. Just saying, it's really hard. You really have to have trust when the Lord said, train the child in the way they should go. You really do. I'm being serious. It sounds funny, but you have to trust the Lord in letting your children become adults. You have to trust the Lord that when they make mistakes, they're rooted in a firm foundation. And that though they may make mistakes, in the end, they won't depart from what truth is. The core value of honor is, I don't control you. See, there came a time when my kids typically would always ask to do things. And there came a time I started saying, you don't need my permission. You can make this decision. And the typical response was, yeah, but I want your blessing, you know, which is great from a relationship standpoint, right? But the fact is, I needed to empower them to control themselves and no longer try to control them. Why? Because they're worthy of honor. Misunderstanding control in relationships, misunderstanding who controls who, is how we introduce dishonor. When I know that I don't control you, I won't try to. The goal is to nourish and strengthen our relationships. The goal is not to get you to comply. The goal is to practice love and to strengthen our connection. I don't control you. I control me. The fruit of the Spirit is not me controlling you. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here's a very powerful phrase. Against such things, there is no law. I was having a discussion yesterday, and I know it bothered the person, and maybe a couple of people I was talking with, because I was like saying, I can't sin. And they just had a problem. I can't sin. Why? Because I have been set free from the law of sin and death. It's impossible for me to sin. Why? Because the law is what defines sin. If I've been set free from the law, I can't sin. Okay? You say that makes no sense. If there is no speed limit law, there's no limit. Right? And you go through the city at 100 miles an hour, you're not breaking the law because there's no law, there's no limit. So can you speed? No, you can't. There's no limit. Now, I would say it's wrong to speed through the city at 100 miles an hour because there's people out. You know, so we're not questioning the moral side of it. I'm saying we've been set free of something, and we need to live free of something. And when you've been given the responsibility of being free of something and enabled to live free of something, walk therein. There is no law against these things. When you walk in love, you will honor God and you will honor one another. You don't need to be sin conscious. Remember who you are. As they say in Lion King. Right? Remember who you are. Control what you can. Control yourself. Again, in Genesis 1:26, we read it earlier, so I won't reread it. It does say in 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Nowhere in it did it say rule over one another. We are not created to rule or control each other. Now, pause. This is a real simple word that most of you, it's like preaching to the choir, right? But there has to be a place in our lives where knowing becomes knowing, and that knowing becomes action. And it's no longer enough to say, I know this. I can say I'm an apple tree till I die, but if I don't produce apples, I ain't no apple tree of any good use. I can say I know stuff till I'm blue in the face, but until I start showing forth that which I know, I'm of no use. The fact is, we need to start showing honor. Why? Because the word says, all the way back in the beginning of this thing, 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people. He didn't put a caveat. He didn't put a condition. It's who you are. If I control myself, then I am free to honor no matter what. Honor means to glory in. One test of honor is, can you honor those who have hurt you, abused you, or tried to control you? Can you see the deposit of God's glory in those people? Can you see that in every person God has created, He has deposited a seed of Himself, and that is worthy to be honored? Isaiah 6:3 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth," that includes you, that includes me, "is full of His glory." Psalms 8:4-6, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet." 1 Corinthians 11:7. Man is the image and glory of God. See, to walk in honor means we recognize what God has put in each other. It means to see others as God created them to be. Sometimes we just need to slap each other upside the head and say, act like who you are. Gently. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, I'm a child of God. I've said it before, you know, if I was a child of a billionaire and my inheritance is billions of dollars, and I just can't wrap my mind around it, and I live like I have nothing, I need to be reminded of what resources I have available to me because of who I am. We need to be reminded of what resources are available to us because of who we are. Second Kings 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adalai, Adaiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, he's in right relationship with God, right? And followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or the left. Great verse, right? David was not Josiah's father. Matter of fact, he was 16 generations removed from David. So say great like 15 times or 14 times. But yet he reached back through 16 generations to pull the glory of God into the present. He found a seed of every generation of honor and glory that God had put in those before him, and grab that seed of glory until it manifested in his life. See, honor elevates the status of one another. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. See, Jonathan placed David above himself, moving him from powerless to powerful. See, when honor is established amongst us, it makes all of us powerful. It makes all of us valued. It makes everyone important. John 15, verse 15, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. See, Jesus elevated us. He moved us from powerless to powerful. And he commands us to do likewise. So, in introducing this and in closing it for today, we must know God. And we must know who God created each of us ourselves to be. See, because you have his glory, you can give his glory. Because he's made you a king, you can bestow kingship. When you know who you are free to be you. See, only I control what I do. Only I control what I say. Only I control what I think. Only I control where I go. I am free to honor because no one controls me. No one controls my honor but me. That's freedom. Heaven is full of free people. When we pull heaven to earth, we pull freedom to earth. To honor all people is to practice that freedom which he's given to us. And the main ingredient of honor is love. Stand with me. If honor is rooted in love, it's because God is love, and honor is rooted in God. See, there's a verse that we've been challenged with. They will know we are his disciples by our love for one another. Honor is rooted in love. Acts of honor are seen by all. As 1 Peter says, 2:17, honor all people. So as times get rough in the church, outside of the church, let this be rooted in you. Love always. Let love manifest honor in our relationships toward one another. And they'll all see it. And that's what we're called to. That's the community of believers we have been born into. I like that song, "This is how I fight my battle." I don't need to go into politics. I don't need to go on the news and spout my mouth. I have a God I can praise who can change all things in an instant. I don't have to sweat all this nonsense that's going on and protest, all this stuff. It's just stuff. I actually enjoy talking to Dan. For those of you that don't, you know, I get with Dan all the time. He'll always bring a different perspective. Always. What do you think about this? Well, this is rooted in this and founded in that. You'll have a totally different outlook. You know, sometimes you listen to the news, and the fact is you get a distorted perspective. Don't get caught up in that trap. The only truth I know is God himself. That I can stand on. Stand on that. See that in one another, and see that in every difficult situation he leads you through, and you will go through it. You will show forth love. You will show forth honor, and what that does is glorify God. That's our task. Heavenly Father, we bless you. Because not only did you save us, you made a way for us to live life abundantly and to affect all those around us in it. So we just ask that those deposits that you've put in us would overflow in us so that the world would see that you've loved us and that you're extending the same love towards them. See, you're the only answer I know for the world today. So we just ask that you be manifest in our lives so that we would be your witnesses and this world would be changed. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you all.